most of you know that, like, I was born and brought up in Wales with my sister. Then our family moved to Scotland. And after 4 years of living in Scotland, my mum sadly passed away of cancer. So, not great. That actually, it really impacted my life, but it also really impacted my sister's life in two different ways. I ended up living with grandparents as a result of my dad moving away. So we were in Scotland, and my dad decided to move away. So that left my sister in Scotland and me in Scotland for a short time. But then eventually I sort of came back to Wales to live with grandparents. When I came down to live with grandparents, those grandparents after a year decided to move away also. So they left, and I moved in with my second grandparents. Doesn't get any better, sorry. both my grandparents that I was living with died within about a year and a half to 2 years. So I was left then. My nan had a Valleys to Coast property, which is a housing association in Bridgend. And, I was sort of just left in this property, crying, not knowing what I was going to do, because I was threatened with homelessness. That's the reality was, actually, wait a second now, I could end up homeless. I haven't got a massive family, so I had a couple of cousins in Bridgend, but yeah, not great. But what I did have in my life was amazing people. I had a really strong network of friends, work colleagues. I don't know where Joe is. Where's Joe? Oh, there she is. Hello. I had a friend praying for me that I would return back to church, and she always kept in touch, and that was made such a difference in my life. I had that support network, and thankfully I got to take over that tenancy, and I was secure. I had a lovely housing officer, and she was really, really fantastic. And thanks be to God, I'm here today. My life has transformed as a result of him and that wonderful network of people around me. But for my sister, when she was left in Scotland, she told my dad that she had friends to go and stay with, which was the truth. She did have friends. But unlike me, her network was a little bit flaky, wasn't as secure. And she ended up not ending up with friends. And she ended up in a hostel at the age of 17. So she was homeless. That's the reality of her story. And it took many years for my sister to share with me her experience because she found it so difficult. She said it didn't feel like a safe environment. There was people taking drugs. She just felt like she had to keep herself in a room, lock the door, because she was so frightened of, you know, temporary accommodation is great and it's, you know, there are some wonderful ones across the world, but there are also ones that aren't so great, and unfortunately she ended up in one of those. And to this day, and thankfully now she's got she got herself a flat and she's got two boys and a partner, but her life is still sort of struggling along because she hasn't got that network of people around her. And, you know, her financial situation and everything is just not as great as it could be. And to be fair, she could change that, definitely with a relationship with God. I think that's one of the big differences. But the main focus really is the network of people around you. And that's when I came to do this, like, sort of presentation today, and Homeless Sunday, the theme was the impact of volunteering on the volunteer. I have to remember that. The impact of volunteering on the volunteer. And I was thinking, how can I tie that in? And actually, when you go out into your networks of people and you share and you give and whatever you do voluntarily, you are a volunteer. Like, you might have your job where you're paid to go to. Like, I'm paid by Housing Justice Cymru. But the additional stuff that I do is all volunteering. And I think Joe will agree that the impact that you volunteering and coming into my life and praying for me and walking me through life, really, hasn't it had a massive impact on your life too? Yeah. Glad you said that. So I'm going to just stop there for a second and hand back to Alex. But I just wanted to say that the networks that you work within and the difference that you can make, even if you think it's small and insignificant, can actually have a massive, massive impact on somebody's life. I'm sure Bob would also agree with that. Okay, so I'm going to hand back. Thank you.
We just, if you're involved in housing or homelessness as a volunteer or you work within housing, Could you just stand up? And should we just honour these people who work at the sort of cutting edge of this challenge? So Tim.
Fab. Okay, so I'm going to tell you how you can do something to make a difference now. So the first thing, how you can help, is to volunteer. So I'm running some training sessions this week, Thursday evening and Friday evening, for the Neath Port Talbot project. We have venues across both Port Talbot and Neath, so we can put you in one that's a little bit closer to Bridgend. But yeah, I just wanted to say, like, coming down and spending time at the night shelter really changed my perspective on homelessness. I went down to the Swansea one last year with Sharon, and I was just blown away by the hospitality, seeing guests, because they're not considered, you know, homeless people when they come in. They're people, first off, who are homeless. The homelessness shouldn't define them. So they're people who are homeless. It shouldn't be an us and them mentality. We all sit and eat together. It's quite late. I mean, we're eating about 8 o'clock at night, so don't do what I did and eat beforehand, because I was nearly rolling back to Bridgend after that. But yeah, there's an evening shift, there's a night shift. The night shift is probably one of the ones that we need more help with, but I've actually been quite surprised by the volunteers I've signed up already with regards to the night shift. And there's a breakfast shift as well. So more information is on the tables just out there, and I'll be around at the end to chat to you. So yeah, if you want to get involved in that. And then we've got partner with Housing Justice Cymru from as little as £5 per month. So you can make a real difference, like any charity. If you just give something regularly and sign up to sort of partner with us, that would be amazing. So if you haven't got the time to volunteer, you may have the finances to be able to partner with us. Okay. And then give. Items, your time, and financially. With items, I've listed a couple of ideas. Sometimes we need socks, we need toothpaste, oh gosh, hats, gloves, scarves, things that are going to keep people warm during the winter months. So I've also put that on the sheets that are on the table out there. And the last one, pretty much every single person in this church can do this, and you're probably going to know what I'm going to say. Oh no, sorry, that was the wrong time for that one. Raise awareness and fundraise. Most of you could probably do that. But the biggest one is pray. You can pray with us. Pray for people who are homeless. Pray for people who are working with people who are homeless. Pray for the government, the services, provision. There's so much you can pray about with this subject. So, yeah. And there's little hands. And the final thing, just to finish off before I disappear, is whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. So not only when you give your time, your resources, God actually repays you for that as well. So he's an amazing God. And if you think, oh, actually, I don't know if I can do it, if you do it and just step out in faith, he'll really meet your needs as well. So thank you.
Okay, now Ilgu and Steve are going to come up, and they're going to sing a song about somebody who became homeless because of relationship breakdown. And so if the ushers would like to come up while they're singing to us, we'll just take an offering for Housing Justice. Everything that you give this morning will go to Housing Justice. If you give with a...
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are and for giving us hope. Also, we thank you for everyone who has come to show their support today on Homeless Sunday. But help us not to forget that people are homeless every day across our nation. We pray for those sleeping under bridges, on park benches, in doorways or bus stations. For those who can only find shelter for the night but must wander in the daytime. For families broken because they could not afford to pay the rent. For those who have no relatives or friends who can take them in. For those who have no place to keep possessions. For those who are afraid and feel hopeless. For all people affected by homelessness, we pray that you will help us to provide shelter, security, comfort, and hope. Jesus, help us to see your face in the eyes of every homeless person we meet, so that we may be empowered through word and deed, and through all the means we have to bring justice and peace in their time of need. Stir our hearts to move more deeply in our walk with you, so that we can be active to share your love with our neighbours and the community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for this offering. And like Anne prayed, homelessness is every day. So let's ask God how we can make a difference. Amen. Amen. Children, if you'd like to go out, if you want to stretch, say hello to one or two people you haven't said hello to. We're going to reconvene in a couple of minutes. The youth are staying in just to remind you. But children, if you'd like to go out. Thank you. If you have not been baptized, we're having a baptism service shortly. So if you've never been baptized and you're following Jesus, one of the things he says to us is that we should believe and be baptized. So, you know, if you would just like to, I mean, I know some of you, but we'd just like to see me afterwards. We would really encourage you, if you're following Jesus, to be baptized. By baptism, I don't mean something that your parents did for you when you were very little, where you got christened or converted, but I mean going, think of it, in a swimming pool and being submerged under the water completely. So, should we just pray? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you that you are faithful to your word. Father, we want to thank you that we have shelter. Father, that you've provided us with shelter. And Father, all those things that we can just take for granted when they're there every day. Thank you that you encourage us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. That you provide for us and that you give to us and that you're there for us. Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would encourage us and help us to love the world around us. That we would be your hands and feet. That we, as we saw in that video, would do something. That we would make a difference to someone. That we would share your love and hope and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, do you want to turn to Luke chapter 15? Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at a story about somebody who became homeless. And he became homeless because of his poor choices. And that's part of the problem with the homeless thing, is we can be really judgmental with people who are homeless because we can blame what's happened to them on choices rather than show compassion to them. Because, you know, it's like we all make mistakes and we all make bad choices. And, you know, but for the grace of God in my life, I could be that in those circumstances, in those situations. And Jesus says this, he says, judge not, lest you be judged. And with the measure that you judge, it'll be measured out to you. So it's really important that we don't do that. But we stay with compassionate hearts, loving people, rather than judging people. You know, people don't need judgment from the church, they need love. They get judged enough out there in the world. So here we go, chapter 15, if we start in verse 16. Verse 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Thank you. So today we're partnering with Housing Justice Cymru to highlight the issue of homelessness in the nation. And we had a presentation on that. And there's basically two types of roots of homelessness. There's the structural type, not enough money, not enough work, not enough housing. And there's the relational individual type, where people just, stuff happens, you know, stuff happens to us all. You know, we have a breakdown in relationship with our parents, so they kick us out, or we have mental health problems, or we're involved in a domestic violence situation, or we suffer from drug or alcohol abuse, or all sorts of things, or we can't sustain a property, or we can't, And the root causes of homelessness aren't something that maybe I can do about, a lot about, but I can love someone. I remember in our church, we had a phone call from the YMCA about a group of homeless people who were just looking for some food. And we are the Vine Christian Center, so that's V, which is a long way down the alphabet. And so the person in the YMCA started to ring the churches in the yellow pages, as it would have been then, I guess, or in the directory. And she went from A, and she got all the way down to V. I don't know if there's anybody below V. I don't, Zion might be. There might be a Zion around, I suppose. There was obviously a Zion in my stag. And she said, we've got these homeless people. Can you feed them? And there was a sense of desperation in that. I don't know how to help these people. Can you? And sort of to remove the problem from the YMCA to us. And I just said, well, just send them over. So they came over, and they were hungry. So I can't remember if it was Andrew. I said, send somebody out to get fish and chips. And so we just fed them. We fed them. And it was just like the need at that time was just feed us, help us. And the resources aren't in place, or they aren't there. Things are much better now with some of the homelessness charities and so forth. But there's this sense of, it's easy to push the problem away and say, it's not my problem. And maybe it isn't your problem. But that doesn't make any difference, does it? How can I show compassion and love? And I remember at that point, we didn't have the food hamper situation or a food bank in the church. So I just said, well, we're going to start a food bank. And we used to collect at Christmas, if you remember. So we would do hampers for people that need it at Christmas. And now we collect every week, so that if anybody comes with resource, we can bless them with food at least. You know, and homelessness and people who are in need and poverty is an ongoing challenge within our society. And you know, the church does have a part to play in making a difference. We really do. And we can't make a difference without all of us making a difference. So if a lot of people do a little, a lot gets achieved. I remember last year I talked about a man called George Muller. And back in 1835, where there weren't the resources that there are now, or even maybe the compassion, I don't know. But he God spoke to him and said, I want you to start something for orphans. And he had 50p in his pocket. I think I've got 50p in my pocket. So can you imagine starting an endeavor with 50p, 10 shillings? Now, I appreciate in 1835, 10 shillings was worth a little bit more than 10 shillings now, or 50p now. But it wasn't worth a lot more than 50p. It might have been worth 10 pounds. So I don't think I have a 10-pound note, but you can imagine. Can you imagine starting something with 10 pounds? That's all he had when he started, and a lady came up to him and she said, I'll work for you for nothing. I'll volunteer to make a difference. And, you know, they started with 50p and one willing volunteer. And it wasn't long before God started adding to him And that's the thing with faith, is when we start to take steps of faith to make a difference, God adds the resources to us. You know the story about George Muller, or most of you do, that, you know, he was caring for 2,000 orphans by the time he went to glory. 2,000 orphans. Just incredible, really. But he didn't start with the orphanages in place. He didn't start with the money in place. He started with 10 shillings and faith. And, you know, we don't have a lot of money in this church. May not have a lot of money, but if you have a little bit of faith, faith can move mountains. Faith as small as a mustard seed moves mountains. So you don't even need to have loads of faith. You just need a little bit of faith. And here's the amazing thing, is God gives us faith when we get saved. He gives us the faith to believe in him. And it says that each one has been given the measure of faith. And so what we need to ask God to do is, how do I use my faith? Or where do I use my faith? Where do I trust you? Because all I have in my hand is 10 shillings. And 10 shillings and faith moves a mountain. 10 shillings by itself doesn't do a lot. You can't buy a lot for 50p. You can't buy a lot for £100. You can't buy a lot for £10,000, you know, when it comes to homelessness. But with faith, we can see our society changed. Faith in God's promises. And, do you know, people, they end up homeless for all sorts of reasons. But, do you know, it's like, how far away are we from homelessness? You're not that far away. A relationship breakdown, unemployment, inability to pay your mortgage and rent. Pretty soon, if you don't have a network around you, you're pretty close. If you don't have God in your life and his promises to supply and support, you can be really close. In this story, we have a picture of a breakdown of a relationship between a father and a son. Father loved his son. Father didn't want his son to go. Father just wanted to have him at home. But the son was convinced that it was time to go. You know, his son wanted to go. And the son went up to the father and said, give me the money that's due to me. Give me my inheritance. And the father, probably reluctantly, he said, well, here's your inheritance. And off the son went. And he went to a far off land. And in loose living, he took that money, spent it with reckless living, squandered it on drinking and partying and women and all this sort of stuff. And it wasn't long before he ran out of money. And ended up working with pigs. Do you know, this story was told to Jews. Jewish people, and the lowest thing they can do is work with pigs and share the food that the pigs eat. You see, he was longing just for the stuff the pigs were getting. And you know, there would be revulsion in the hearers to say, how could this man have fallen so low that he ended up with the pigs? And the son was homeless, come to a terrible place, and it was because of a series of poor choices. Let me ask you this. How many people have made poor choices in their life? Okay, we've all made poor choices. I've made some crackers that I'm not going to tell you about. But there was a redemption in my life that God ensured that my poor choices wouldn't lead to calamity. See, I had some friends that were poor choices. And I was good. I'm good in the sense of, you know, I wasn't a bad boy. I wasn't criminal or anything. And I had mother praying for me that somehow I would be, you know, I would be protected. But every time all my friends got in trouble with the police, I was never there. Every time there was drink driving and crashes, I wasn't there. Every time, you know, there were fights, I wasn't there. And it was just because of my mother's prayers that somehow I was protected from the worst excesses of the crowd that I used to knock around with. And I give thanks for that. But it wasn't because I was making good choices. I was making poor choices. It wasn't that I was choosing to avoid trouble. I just was never there. Because there was a hand in my life pushing me in a particular way. The unseen hand of God pushing me towards Father's house. And this boy, this young man, squandered all his money, working with pigs, longing for the food that comes from the pigs. It says that he came to his senses. It was like he had this eureka moment. It was like, what am I doing here? We read it. Verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Do you know, it's really interesting that nobody told him that he made a mess of things. He came to his senses. He thought, what am I doing here? I have wasted the opportunities my father gave me. I've ended up. And he uses this word, I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven and before you. It's an out of fashion word now, sin, isn't it? What does it mean, though? So, when we think about sin, it means to fall short. The Greek word was used for archery, and there would be a target, and the archer would pull the bow back, fire the arrow, and if the arrow fell short of the target, it would mean they would say the arrow has sinned, fallen short. So what he is saying is, I have fallen short of the expectations of heaven or the requirements of heaven, and I have fallen short of my father's own expectations of his son. This recognition that he's fallen short. Now, here's the wonderful thing about God. God says this to us, is that he says that everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glory. See, we're created in the image of God. We're called to follow God the Father and walk in His ways. And if you imagine a target, and have you ever been this? Have you ever been archery? Who's done archery here? Okay, so archery, I'm terrible at it. So here's the target, and I pull back the and I fire it, and it misses by 50 meters. The arrow has sinned. Anybody good at archery here? I don't know if anybody's good. Okay, so Yenna's good at archery, and she pulls back but it's such a strong. She fires it, and it goes really close, and it falls short by 1 meter. Her arrow sinned too. My arrow sinned by 50 meters, and her arrow sinned by 1 meter. But how many points did she get? None. How many points did I get? None. Do you know it's pointless comparing each other's failures or sins? You know, it's like, well, I'm a good person. I don't do what they do. I'm a good person. And you know, you can always find somebody worse than you. And you can always find somebody better than you. But the point is, all of us have fallen short of God's requirements. And the son comes to this recognition. And, you know, when somebody's homeless, there are a catalogue of reasons, and we can sit in the seat of judgment thinking, I'm better than you because I'm not homeless. And there you are. It's like when we had Bob up here at Christmas. You know, he had his bag of clothes and his bottle of cider, and that was his life. And I could look at him and think, well, I'm better than him because I don't have my bottle of cider. I'm this, I'm that. And it's just judgment. I'm no better than Bob. And we've got to stop judging people because they're not like us or because they've hit hard times. You know, I don't know why somebody ends up homeless, and it's different for everyone, because behind every statistic is an individual, and behind every individual is a life story. And you know what? I don't know about statistics, but I do know that if I love someone, I can change their story. We had a man come here visit once, and he was an Elvis impersonator, and that was his job. And so Friday night, Saturday night, he would sing Elvis. And then Sunday morning, he'd come to church and sing gospel. Sing with us. You know, but here's the problem. You cannot burn the candle at both ends. So he had to make a choice between his living and coming to church. And he wasn't a believer, but he just liked coming in here. And so it just got too much for him. After about 8 weeks, he stopped coming. And we didn't see him again. And, you know, I wasn't really in contact with him, didn't have a number for him, didn't really know him very well. Just knew he came for about 6 weeks. About, and I forget how long, maybe 2-3 years later, he comes back. What I remember about him was he used to stand at the back and he would cry. And it's not usual you see men crying in church, I suppose. And he stood at the back and he cried again as we worshipped and so forth. And at the end of church, we had coffee together. And I said, it's wonderful to see you. Why did you come back? Why did you come today? And, you know, it transpired that his relationship had broken down. His wife had left him. That he'd lost his home. Just lost hope. He was just in a real state. But he said these words. I want to come somewhere where I will be loved and not judged. And I thought, that is the sort of church I want to pastor. A church where people will come here because we love them and not judge them. You know, that we would just love people. But for the grace of God, there could I go. Let's not judge, but let's love people. Do you want to turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to love people? All you need is love. Love, love, love. Love is all you need. Let's continue the story, verse 20 to 24. He arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off. Can we say that? A long way off. Long way off. His father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Do you know, I don't know how clean he was. He'd been with the pigs, and yet, you know, his father runs up to him, kisses him. And the son said to him, he probably rehearsed this speech. Have you rehearsed speeches when you know you're in the doghouse, you know? So if I'm in the doghouse with Jane, I will go, I'll think about what I need to say, and I'll, rehearse the speech to get the least. Actually, I don't do that. That's stupid, really, but this is what he did. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But it's almost as if the father doesn't hear. The father said to the son, it didn't say that, does it? The father said to the servants, bring the best robe, put it on him, put the ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found, and they began to celebrate. Now, there is significance in all those things that he brought, and I don't have time to go into the significance of them. But it's just like, it just opens his heart. Just opens his heart. Do you know, I have three beautiful daughters, and if one of them was lost, left estranged in my life, do you know, I wouldn't care where she'd been sleeping. I wouldn't care what she'd be doing. I would just want it back in my life. If you've sat down with somebody whose child has left and estranged them, we have a friend whose child is estranged from them and they can't contact them and so forth, it is such a heartache. Do you know, he didn't say, and where do you think you've been? He says, bring the fatted calf, we're going to celebrate. It shows a picture of the heart of God towards everyone. He is looking for people to come to him. And when the son was a long way off, the father ran to him. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. So God invites us. He says, if you're going to draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. We've got to celebrate. My son was dead, but now he's alive. Hallelujah. He was lost, but now he's found. I've got him back. I've got my son back. And that's how God feels about us. You know, he doesn't care where we've been sleeping. He doesn't care that we fell short 50 meters or 1 meter. What he cares about is that the son is back. The daughter is back. You're back in the family. In this chapter here, it says, for I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need for repentance. Verse 7, that is verse 10. I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Verse 10. And this parable talks about a turning back. Repent means just to turn back to the Father. And God wants everybody to find a home in him. We sung it earlier. We've found our home. We've found our hope, our light. That's what he wants for all of us, that we would turn to him. You know, this parable echoes my own story. It is a story of a separation between a father and a son. It's a story of realization that the son needed to go back to the father. And it's a story of reconciliation that the son and the father are reconciled together again. I was separate from God. I lived my whole life as though God didn't exist. I lived for myself. I lived for pleasure. I lived for money. I lived for just those stuff people live for. No thought of God. No idea of God. I was far, far away. Excuse me. A lot of people are far away from God. They're separate. But God doesn't want us to live separate from him. He created us to be part of his family. And you know, sometimes when you get a knock in life, it makes you realize that the garden isn't so rosy. And I took a knock in my life and a breakdown of relationship and I was by myself and I started to pray a really simple prayer. God, if you are there, I want to know you. God, where are you? And part of it was in self-pity because some stuff had happened to me that just, God, why has this happened to me? But you know, there was a promise in the Bible and it says this, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And I came to the realization, there's got to be more to life than what I have. There's got to be purpose to life. There's got to be a God there. Where is he? My realization. And then I realized I was without him. And I drew near to him and he drew near to me. And there was like reconciliation. It wasn't there was like. Reconciliation happened. Well, how did that happen, Alex? Well, you know, the background is just quite simple. We lived in the Far East. We had a Filipino maid. And she said to me, would you like to come to my church? And I went to her church and I heard about Jesus. Because it's through Jesus that we're reconciled with God. And do you remember I was talked about falling short? I kept falling short. The one who has yet to fall short and will never fall short is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this, that Jesus became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God. And it would be a bit like Jesus saying, give me that bow, I'll do it for you. I'll hit the target. And he fires the arrow and it hits the middle of the bullseye. He did it for me. And I remember the Sunday I went to that church and somebody said, if I give my life to Christ, he'll come in and live in me. And I asked Christ into my heart and everything changed. The Bible talks about my spirit coming alive to God and God became real. And you know, it was like I saw the light. Everything changed because I was reconciled to God. And you know, I don't know everybody in this room, but I do know this, that God wants to be reconciled with you. And it starts with recognizing you're separate from him. Realizing that you're away from him and turning towards him. And then asking him to forgive you of your sins and ask Jesus into your heart. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I will give you a guarantee. If you ask God to reveal himself to you with the heart purpose of giving your life to him and serving him, he will make himself real to you. He will make himself so clear that nobody else can see him. You'll know he's real. But it starts with a prayer. God, if you're there, I want you in my life. God came to me and revealed himself to me and changed everything. My story is not just for me, but you too can be reconciled with God. Most people in this room that I know are reconciled with God. They've come to know him through Jesus Christ. He loves you. He won't judge you. He'll open his heart to you. And he'll say, come into my household. You don't have to be homeless. You can come into the home of God. So we're going to close. We're going to sing together one more hymn. And as we sing this, why don't you think about what I've just said? And if you've never come to know Jesus, why don't you pray that prayer? Lord, if you're real, could you make yourself known to me? So let's stand together. I'm going to pray. Father, I want to thank you that there is the scent of water again. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would make yourself real to everyone in this room that seeks to know you. That it wouldn't be a fairy tale or just a story, but it would be a life-changing message. That Jesus would become real. Father, that you would bring hope and joy into the lives of people here as we seek to trust you with all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amazing grace.